2. Hello and welcome to the final session of Soul Speak this season. I'm your host, Sheldon Pisnet, and I have been so honored to share this time and space with all of you. Thank you for being a collaborator, a co-creator, a participant with me while we play, learn, celebrate, and awaken. It's been my intention that we co-create the most magical, miraculous experience possible together. And I feel so grateful to be part of that with you. Thank you so much. I look forward to serving you again in whatever capacity may arise in the future. So in this session, we're going to be talking with Sheila Gillette about soul integration, fifth dimensional living, spiritual mastery, and much, much more. But first, a little who is Sheila Gillette for those of you unfamiliar with her. Following her near-death experience in 1969, Sheila became a direct voice channel for a collective of 12 archangels known as Theo. Many people recognize Sheila and Theo from the Abraham Hicks publications, where they are credited as being the mentors for Esther Hicks, as she opened to channeling Abraham way back in 1984. Sheila is the author of the best-selling book, The Fifth Dimension, Channels to a New Reality, and has spoken to hundreds of thousands of people worldwide, sharing the experience and teachings of Theo. So I'm honored and feel blessed to have her with us to close out this season of Soul Speak. Hi, Sheila. Welcome.
Hi, Sheldon. It's so nice to be with you and with your listeners today.
Thank you. And just for our listeners, just a little heads up. We're going to be talking with Sheila for a little while, and then Sheila is going to switch into channeling Theo, and we'll be experiencing Theo. So, Sheila, how did you become the direct voice channel for Theo?
Well, Sheldon, as you spoke, in 1969, I had a near-death experience. I had pulmonary embolus after the birth of a child, and both my lungs were non-functioning. My lungs were full of fluid, and my family was being prepared for my death, that I wouldn't live through the day. And I was in intensive care saying, hey, God, give me a job. I will do anything. I wanted to stay on the planet. I had a brand new baby. I had two small children at home, and I wanted to stay here. And so I just kept repeating that like a mantra. And at one point, the cubicle in the intensive care, the room that I was in, became extremely bright, as if the sun had risen in the room itself. And I almost had to blink back tears. And I saw movement at the end of my bed. And when I looked, Jesus was standing there. And, of course, I was a little taken aback, as you can imagine. But his eyes were so kind, and I was just mesmerized by his face. And he took his arms and he crossed them inside the sleeves of the garment that he had on. And when he did that, he smiled at me, and I heard a distinct male voice in my inner mind hearing, like we hear our thoughts, but it was not my thought. It was a male voice saying to me, remember, my child, you are loved. And at that point, I felt as if my crown had opened up and warmth had been poured in like warm honey, because this warmth started seeping down through every cell of my body. And as it came down through the trunk of my body, I felt as if I could take a deep breath. And I started getting better. This was a moment in time that was timeless. As I speak to you about it, it's as if it just happened moments ago. It's that clear to me. And I started getting better, and when I got out of the hospital, about 6 months after, when I was strong and could hold the energy, I had all kinds of phenomena happening to me internally, externally. I could hear messages from the angels clairaudiently as I heard Jesus' voice. I had a miraculous healing, is what I believe. I had several of the things that the near-death experience studies have said people who have one have. Not at all people experience the 12. But I fully know that I had a miraculous healing in that room that day, and that this was the job that God said, okay, this is what we're going to have you do, because it all happened very spontaneously and very rapidly. Now, 1969 and 1970, these things weren't spoken about publicly. People were afraid to talk about their interest in metaphysics or parapsychology or this type of spirituality. So it wasn't something I spoke about openly until I knew somebody had an interest in the subject. However, I was tested for my psychic ability by scientists, physicists that had an interest in psychic ability. And you know what that gave me is just kind of the good housekeeping seal of approval that you're not a crazy person, you're a psychic person. Because at that time, I didn't know anybody that was doing what I was doing. You know, it happened spontaneously. I was being given information about Watergate 2 years before it came out. Different things like that just kept being affirmed and confirmed. And I knew things about people that I didn't even know. And people that would ask questions. And so I began working with individuals and then as a mentor to other groups, as I did with Esther in 1984. Esther and Jerry Hicks came to me as clients. But when this spontaneously happened, I had all of these abilities start coming through to me, and then I tranced spontaneously and became a direct voice trance medium. That was the title. Channeling was not even a word that was aligned with this type of work until the 80s. And so that is that's, in comparison, a fairly new term for someone who is a medium. But in this is I allow the angels to come through my body and speak through my vocal cords, which not everybody does.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting fact in and of itself.
How so?
Well, you know, back it just has been a work in progress over the almost 50 years I've been doing this work, that allowing this energy to take over my body, my vocal cords, and speak directly. There are people like Esther who hears the information and speaks in her own voice. And that is more comfortable. But, you know, I made that commitment that day in an intensive care. And so when all of these things started happening to me, I, on that place in our gut where we know no doubtedly that you're okay and that this was okay and this was part of that commitment, that's what's kept me doing this work. Because like I said, back when it all started, I didn't know anybody. I found a book on Edgar Cayce that spoke to what was happening to me. And then I did meet people along the way, but the angels were the ones that taught me and told me how the work was going to go, that I would meet many influential people in my life doing this work, which has come to pass, and information and a lot of information in the book, The Fifth Dimension, is about what is happening in our world today. So all of these things were being told, and then confirmations were being given to me so that I could trust and keep moving forward. For an example, I could do automatic writing. I could allow the pen to write, and I got 15th century Castilian Spanish, and it was prose. And I would get a paragraph in Spanish and then a paragraph in English and then a paragraph in Spanish. And I had to find somebody to translate it for me because I don't speak 15th century Castilian Spanish. And so I found a professor that translated it for me, but what we found out in the translation is that spirit or the angels were translating it. there would be the Spanish paragraph, and then there would be the English. So it was being translated already, but I didn't know that until I had somebody show it to me. So it's been an interesting experience over these years and an ongoing process of growth. Every time Theo speaks, I grow. They may say the same thing in a different way that I get more clarity about. So it's, and I have been growing with it, obviously, in the teachings that have come over these years, and expansion, and being more comfortable in allowing my body to be used in the way they use it.
Hmm. That's great. Thanks for sharing. I, as somebody who also channels, it is a fascinating experience, and that's such a, when you shared what Jesus said to you, that impacted me, the truth that I know of channeling Jesus as well. That's so Jesus, that, you know, that perfect love, that is such a message in my experience from Christ, from the Christ consciousness. Well, let's talk, since you did bring up the fifth dimension, let's get some clarity on that for people. You know, that's a term that fifth dimension, seventh, 12th dimension, you know, these things get thrown around lately in the field of ascension and awakening. What does it mean to be living in the fifth dimension?
Well, Theo's been talking about this, like I said, for 40 years. And before, you know, actually before Jose Arguelles wrote his book, that Theo was talking about this time of consciousness shift, and that the fifth dimension, that there are 12 dimensions around the earth, and that our third dimension is our physical reality, the fourth has been a spiritual awakening, and the fifth is the energy being so refined now that the veils between our let's say our multidimensionality are thinner, that we can have these what we call past life memories, and we can know more about our soul. You know, our soul is much larger than our physical body, and that we choose to be born, we choose to have this life, and that our bodies are earth suit, how we navigate this planet. And it's very precious because it gives us the opportunity to be alive here on the earth planet. But what they say is that we're coming into this time of fifth dimension where this energy is much more refined, and that those of us who have chosen to be here now can recognize our soul, our masterfulness, our mastery, our divinity, that we can do all of the miraculous things. We are creators. We can manifest a life that we desire to live. We are not our history. History is history. Those things can't be changed. But our beliefs about that history in this time, our beliefs that were adopted, created for survival's sake, that have been repetitive patterns that we want to change, can be changed in this time as we become aware of them, and we can reframe, reprogram, rewrite the script, if you would. Being conscious of how we speak about ourselves, the kind of words that we use, it's really laying new neural pathways in our brain to not think differently. It is a thinking differently. It's changing our mind and our perceptivity about life to be more empowered with ease and grace, being aware of the words that we use and how disempowering some of them can be. It's just a retraining time and bringing into what Theo calls in the soul integrational process, and this is a part of this fifth dimension, and they've been teaching us about, is there fragmented parts of our soul that occur when there are certain experiences in our human life where we need to survive. So our small self steps aside and our higher self steps in. But in that period of time, a belief about who we are, whether we're lovable, there's not enough money, whatever the not enoughnesses are that are created in those moments to survive in whatever environment we're living in. But those beliefs can be changed. How many of us have seen patterns in our lives where there's not enough money? We want more abundance. We don't have the love of our life. Our relationships aren't working. We don't have a vocation that we love. We're not living the life we want to live. And we see these repeated patterns over and over again. Well, what can change that is a changing our mind and working with these aspects of ourselves that hold these beliefs and being able to work with them to change the beliefs. When we do that, the trajectory of our life changes dramatically. Out of being the victim into the creator and the manifester of the life we want to live.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is it okay to bring in Theo at this point?
Absolutely. I'd love to. You know, it's been my passion and purpose for my life to share Theo with all who has ears to hear. So it takes... Excuse me. Go ahead.
How? What's the protocol for me to speak with Theo?
When Theo comes in, they'll speak first. And they always say, this is the beginning, is it not? And then they'll ask you if you have a question.
Okay, thank you.
Okay? All right. I'm so happy to do this.
We're happy too.
Great, here we go. It is the beginning, is it not? We are appreciative of the opportunity to be of service unto you. You may ask.
Theo, this is Sheldon, and I wanted to ask for all of those listening and whoever does listen in the future. Sheila mentioned soul integration. What is soul integration?
It is an integration of the fragmented aspects of the soul who have been set aside at different ages. They can be a very young age, they could be a young adult, or even a more mature adult, depending upon situations and circumstances that have occurred in life where belief of not being enough, not being worthy, was set. We call these aspects the little orphans, those who have been set aside, but they are the reactors to life when there has been stimulus, when there is an emotional reactivity or a trigger that occurs, there is a part of self that is the reactor that steps forward to protect the self, you might say. Because the stimulus is similar, the energy is similar to an event that it happened before, and this is how patterns become creations in one's life. For it is these parts of self that are the first reactors to any stimulus or emotional reactivity. So as you become aware of who that is, there is the ability of the higher self or the parental self to reparent those aspects of self, letting them know they're loved, will not be abandoned, that you're taking them with you into a new life that is emerging now where there is love and they will continue to have a voice and be loved. For most often, the reactivity is out of fear of abandonment, fear of being harmed, whatever the fear might be, you see. So when one is aware, is conscious of that and how it began, that is where the reframing, the loving of the self can be performed. And when you love yourself enough, you have the peace on the inner levels of life in your body. And that's what people are seeking. They say happiness, but ultimately it's a comfortable enough in your own skin, no matter what is happening in the world, what conditions or circumstances that are occurring, there's a sense of peace and soul-centeredness that occurs. And one then feels at ease. And then, instead of reacting, you have different lenses to see the life with, then you become a responder rather than a reactor. Do you see?
I do absolutely see. Thank you. And Theo, may I ask a question? Who are you exactly? And why are you here? And what's your purpose for talking through Sheila in this age?
We are 12 archangelic beings as teachers and mentors for this time of consciousness shift never before occurring on this planet. It is a time of grand expansion. And we've come to mentor, to teach, to enlighten. We have chosen this being to speak from out of an agreement set, and have worked energetically with this physical form to align vibrationally to allow this communication as it is.
Theo, I know from my experience of Sheila thus far that you talk about why people think the law of attraction isn't working for them. You know, we've had a big push in the law of attraction, and a lot of people practice it and then sort of give up and say, well, it's just not working for me. I'm not getting results. Can you talk a little bit about why they might be having that experience?
The law of attraction is always working. Always. It is like the law of electricity. Electricity is all around you. It took someone to understand it and to harness it for its use around the world, and it works the same everywhere in the world. The law of attraction is using the quantum field energetically, and it is surrounding you. And it is always working. Recognize that you are the creator. It is not a victim, but a volunteer of being on this planet, thinking the thoughts that you think. So you can think the good thoughts, but what are the thoughts behind those? Typically, it is, I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, I don't deserve. So those are things that are the resistance that blocks the good things coming, you might say. For the energy, the quantum field, does not discern what the thoughts are. It just responds to them and attaches to them, energetically speaking. So this is why the integrative process is important, for then you love yourself enough, you know you're worthy of the life you wish to live, and then you move through that invisible barrier of blockage to receive. Most often, it is a lack of belief that you could have it, you want it, and so you're saying all the right words, but on the inner planes it's where the resistance comes. So that is why the integrative process is so valuable, because then you begin to believe your worthiness, that you are a divine creator, and you can create what you desire and receive it because you deserve it.
I see. I have another question, and this has to do with relationships. What is your take on, as we awaken on the planet more and more, what's the direction we're headed or are in with relationships, the new paradigm, so to speak?
The new paradigm of relationship is preferential, not needy. as beings are recognizing who they are, the powerful souls that they are, and doing the inner work of self-acceptance and self-love, then on a vibrational frequency, one draws unto the self that of its likeness, meaning that each individual has done their inner emotional work, not seeking someone to make them whole, to fill up their angst or their wounds that has already been done by the self, then one is not seeking someone to, out of need, to make them better and then to make the other better. Oftentimes, people are attracted to each other with an unconscious thinking, in a more subconscious thinking, if I heal you, you will heal me. And that never can happen because it's an inner to the outer experience. Do you see? That is why so many teachers over the centuries have spoken about loving the self. And when you love the self enough that you accept the self and love, then you can love another. And that vibration will attract its likeness. The vibrational frequency will meet its match.
Thank you. One more question for you, Theo. Maybe a few more. But where do you see the edge of human potential currently and in the future, perhaps?
We see it unlimited. As you become aware that your soul is much larger than your physical body, that you've chosen an incarnation and a physical body, your earth suit, to navigate this planet. But as you recognize and the consciousness shifts, we see the potential of creativity continually expanding. If you think about what has happened on your planet, just inventively, in the last 125 years, more has happened on your planet for the human existence than has happened in the hundreds or thousands of years before. Yes? So that is a continuum. Just in 100 years, all of the luxuries that you now take for granted have been created. Yes? That will not stop. This expansion will not stop because the energy, the fifth dimension and the sixth dimension are all a part of the recognition of mastery. The others are the etheric realms that you will be in touch with. It is not for one person to have that connectivity. It is for all. And so working together, as this consciousness shifts, you will have peace in your world and there's more collaboration and expansion. And with your technology, education, so that everyone in the world has education. And with education, there's a release of fear. When people know, when they understand, when they connect with each other, they see you are one species on this planet. You are the human species. You are animals, just like other animals, but you're one species. And when you recognize it matters not the color of your skin, the celebration of your spirituality, the language you speak, the country in which you live, that is all the beautiful tapestry of the earthly plane and the experiences therein. To be not feared, to be understood and celebrated, one into the other and not judged. Do you see?
I do, and as I'm sitting here listening to you, I'm having the experience of a question I was going to ask, in which I got the answer to immediately, which was a question of these wisdom teachings, some of which you're speaking about right now, getting into the human collective
earlier for folks in life, for children? And the answer that I got was it's absolutely happening, not necessarily at an institutional level, although that will be happening too, but certainly as more individual parents are waking up, that will filter through the family. Is that what's your experience, or do you have anything to say about that?
That is absolutely true. Because as the parents, we will use the word healing in this context. As the parents are healed, the children will be fine. As they have this information, as they are using the tools and integrating themselves, the children will have that as a model. And so these beliefs about self that children adopt or create will be only of love. Do you see?
I do see. I do. Well, thank you for being with us today and sharing what you shared. We appreciate you. And I'd love to talk to Sheila again.
We are appreciative of the opportunity to serve. We are complete for this moment. God's love unto you. Good day. Hi, Sheldon, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
Good. I'm well, thank you. I get a little spacey, but I'm good. I'm back in
the
body.
I understand. I understand that experience. Great. Well, thanks for that opportunity.
You're very welcome.
And why don't we dive into what's next for you, how people can connect more to Theo and what your work and what Theo brings through. And let's talk. One of those ways is definitely your free gift that you're offering all of our listeners. So why don't we talk about that? Why don't we transition into that?
You bet. I'd love to share that. At our website, asktheo.com, we have two free gifts for people who come and just leave their email address. And one of them is a fabulous guided meditation called Raising Your Vibrational Frequency. It is Theo speaking and giving us this meditation. And there are two different musics attached to them. You can choose one or the other or both. One is the Tibetan singing bowls, and the other is the music of John Siri that backs up the guided meditation. And it's just excellent. Theo uses words very specifically in the meditations that they do that align with the outcome as they have named these meditations. And this one, Raising Your Vibrational Frequency, is just a fabulous meditation that's free for leaving your email address. And then the other is a dialogue with Theo in which my husband Marcus asks Theo 44 of life's greatest mysteries or spiritual inquiries. And, you know, how do we manifest perfect health? Who or what is our soul? Who or what is God or source? What is the fifth dimension? Why did souls choose to incarnate at this time? And many more. So it's a very robust dialogue with Theo that you download. These are all downloadable gifts. Just for putting in your email address, that then you'll receive all the information of all the mentoring classes that we do. We have an interactive internet TV show that we do twice a month, and you'll get information about when that is and the topics and even guests that we have now and again. So you could become very familiar with the work with Theo and everything that we have on the website at asktheo.com. And we'd love to share these with all who would love to have them.
Thank you. And our guests are pretty savvy at this point. At the conclusion of the event, they have a little button. Claim your free gift, so that'll take them directly there.
terrific. Terrific.
Well, thank you for being here to close out the season, Sheila. Is there anything else you'd like to leave us with as we finish up?
Well, it's my pleasure being with you, Sheldon, and thank you for inviting me. As I said, it's my privilege and my passion and my life's purpose to share Theo with all who have ears to hear. And, you know, those of you who are listening that have those ears to hear, we'd love to have you have the free gifts, and we'd love to have you participate at whatever level that you would like with Theo. It's our invitation to yourself, Sheldon, and all your listeners to come and join us sometimes at some of the events we're doing. We'd love that. And we'd love to meet you in person.
Come and play. Sounds good to me. Thank you for the invitation. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Absolutely.
It would
be great.
I appreciate
that. It will be great. And I thank you again. And thank you, everybody, who has been here and come along in the experience, the retreat for your soul speak. I'm so honored and grateful to have been able to co-create and lead this event and co-create a space of sacredness with all of you, of mutual support, mutual respect, and mutual awakening. And let's get your visions expanded into the world as a life experience. Let's do that. Let's continue to do that together as a group. We can all make it a bit more fluid and graceful. So I hope you come back next season, and I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much. God bless us all.